professional standing here with cookies, and I would, but I would just like to thank Jillian again. Those are the best vegan equitable cookies I've ever had. So the next portion really is to talk about the initial results that we had from the pilot session, and then to kind of be thinking about the next steps. And like I mentioned earlier, we wanted to have you here because we really value your opinion and really want to be involved in a collaborative effort to improve this process, to improve our program, and to hopefully better meet the needs of young adults on the autism spectrum. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Keely White, who's going to talk about, it's Dr. Nadik. And then after that, it'll be Keely White, and we will have the opportunity after this to discuss and to put your input into action. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you all for the input that we started to have during the break. And it was mentioned to me, there was a question about attendance and how that went for our pilot session, so I'll be talking about that first. We had been told by a lot of people that we spoke to, and we were getting the impression that it was going to be very hard, even if we were able to recruit people for a pilot session, to keep them attending over the 10 weeks. Given that these are young adults, they might not be showing up for their appointments, they have lots of other things going on. It might be unlikely to get good participation, and in fact, we had excellent participation, I'm very happy to report. So we had a rate of 95% attendance over the 10-week program. So for 8 of our 10 group meetings, all 6 participants were present. And if ever they missed a session, they told us ahead of time, they communicated with us, or sometimes they forgot or they had something else that day, and they'd be very upset about that and contacting us many times to get information on what happened that week that they missed. So everyone was very actively engaged, and we started with 6 in the pilot session. We ended with 6, and people were participating in different ways, some more than others in different types of activities. We are now going to turn to some of the ways that we looked at, that we tried to measure change or the impact of our program. One of the ways was with a social problem-solving task that we adapted from Shannon and Crawford. So this is a task just that presented different social scenarios or social problems, and we would ask different questions about them to see how individuals would try to problem-solve in the situation, how they might handle a real-life social problem, and what their social insight was into what was happening or why this might be pose a problem or why it might be difficult. So here's one example. Steve had agreed to help his friend move to a new apartment on Saturday. However, he has just been offered tickets to see his favorite hockey team, also on Saturday. Okay. So there was a very open-ended question. Why would this situation be awkward for Steve? And we were just looking to hear people's responses, if they understood that there might be both internal reasons why this is difficult for him, the conflict of what he wants to do, and external reasons of the social consequences that might have on his friend. We would also ask them, what is the best thing for Steve to do in this situation? Open-ended question. They took their time to respond to that. And then after that, we would have 4 different options that we asked people to rank. What should Steve do in this situation? Which is the best and the second best, third best solution to this problem? and I should mention that everyone saw 10 scenarios of this kind, both prior to our group sessions and after. Okay, here's another scenario to show you. A couple wants to mow their lawn, but their neighbor has borrowed the lawnmower. He has not returned it, although they have already asked him twice. Okay, same questions. Why would it be awkward for the couple? What's the best thing to do in this situation? What I'm going to show you now is the pre and post scores on the awkwardness question. So this question was the most difficult for everyone because it's really quite open-ended, and you have to kind of infer why this might be awkward or that it is awkward at all. And what we found here is that in 4 out of 6 of our participants, they showed some improvement in their insight into social situations on these questions that were the most difficult to start with. And so those are these red bars here, the post scores. So you see that they're increasing in 4 out of 6 participants. Okay, so now I'm going to turn it over to Keely to talk about some of our other outcome measures.
So one of the things that we're interested in is looking at, overall, how did the program go for the parents of these participants, as well as the participants themselves? So we, at the end of the program, we asked parents to complete a questionnaire or a program evaluation on the program, and overall we've seen really positive positive comments on the program. So we've seen that it's a great program, overall positive experience. The person or the son traveled alone to a new location, which helped him gain confidence. Being a part of the group made him feel grown up. And it's a much needed program, as we've heard already earlier this morning, that transitions are tough for all of us, and especially for young people with special needs. And it's crucial to have the support and the knowledge of the outside world for these individuals. Along with the parents' comments, we also provided questionnaires to the participants, so the people who are participating in the program, to see whether or not what they liked about the program, what we can change, their overall impression of the program. And again, it was positive. They learned new skills that they could apply in real-world situations that they're going to be experiencing in the future. So we were really interested in looking at the participants' self-reported changes in their skill levels. So at the time that we administered the needs assessment, we also asked them about their current level of skills. And at the post-program stage, when we provided the program evaluation, we also asked them about their skill level, but how did it change from their from before they entered the program. So we provided them with a table just like that for the 3 domains, so social communication, self-determination, and working with others, and they rated their skill level pre and post-program, either low skill, medium skill, or high skill. So the next couple of slides, you'll see 2 graphs. On the left side, there's the pre-skills. On the right side, there's the post-skills. At the bottom, there's the different domains that fall under the module. So in this case, it's communication skills. And then below, you'll see listening, initiating, perspective taking, etc. On the left side of the y-axis, you'll see the number of participants who reported what level of skill. The yellow represents the low skill. Orange, medium skills were reported, and the blue would be high skills reported. So in terms of communication skills, in the before they entered the program, you'll see that most people engaged in or self-reported medium level of skill, with some people reporting below or low skill levels, and a few people reporting some high skills in sarcasm and nonverbal communication. If we focus on just the programs that we implemented in the pilot session, you'll see that post-program, more people are reporting higher level of skills. What's in the initiation, listening, making an impression modules. If we look at self-determination skills, again, you'll see the same pattern in pre-level. So people are reporting a variety of low, medium, and high skills. If we look at the modules that we focused on in the pilot session, so problem solving, self-regulation, self-advocacy, as well as developing your preferences and interests, you'll see that most people after the program or after they completed the program are engaging in or self-reporting higher levels of skills. One thing that's interesting, if you look at choice making, which wasn't a module that we focused on based on the needs assessment for the pilot session, they reported higher skills in that area. So we think that maybe it's just other programs are generalizing to these other skills. So the programs that we implemented, they're generalizing or having collateral effects on other skills. If we look at working with others, the same thing happens. So reporting low, medium, and high skills pre-session with a lot more high-level skills reporting after session. So looking at knowing your context and what makes good partners, you'll see higher levels of skills being reported then. And you'll also see those collateral effects come up more for things like teamwork, which in a lot of our modules we really emphasize, like collectively trying to solve problems, trying to self-advocate, self-determination, all those skills. And electronic as well came up higher. So we did offer a online communication, but yeah. So that's it. Now I'm going to turn it over to Aparna.
So we've come to the end of our kind of brief overview about our program and the pilot results that we collected. Just wanted to touch on what's next. We're looking forward to refining the program and the particular outcome measures that we incorporate in the program with your input. The exact service delivery model that we're going to use, so exactly which students, which facilitators, who's the staff, is being decided on. And what we're getting to, which I think we may have failed to mention up until this point, is a research study on the program. So the pilot session was done in preparation, and the stakeholder meeting now is done in preparation to finalize the content and the implementation. of our program prior to conducting a randomized control trial on this group, small group format program. So we're going to do the randomization by making use of a delayed treatment group. So we're not going to deny the service to anybody. We're basically going to enroll people in the program, and they would either participate in the next session that we have, or they would be on a wait list for a session, and then they would participate in the following session. So we would have pre and post measures on the group that's participating and on the group that's waiting for the same amount of time to act as a control. So we are going to be running this over several sessions, over four sessions, between 2013 and 2015. We're starting in September 2013. And our sample size will be 24, or at least 24. We might be able to grow that a bit. What else did I want to mention about this? We do have now, so it was hard to get in touch with people initially, but we actually have more than 25 people on our waiting list currently from our last round of recruitment before the pilot session. It's clear that there's a need for this, and people are interested, and we're finding them and making contact with them. So another thing that we are looking forward to is maintaining contact with all of you. When we do complete the full study, we would like to share the results of that with you in a similar forum. And the kind of ultimate goal or last step of our program and the grant funding that we have is to prepare a document jointly with stakeholders interested in transition for adults with ASD. That would summarize the need for transition services, the outcome of our research study as one possible model for providing transition services, and policy recommendations to really move this into action, perhaps as a mandate for Quebec to have transition planning for adults with ASD. Okay, so now we're looking forward to getting your input, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Flanagan.
Okay, so I think, like I mentioned when we were thinking about this, I guess in the first time in 2009, this is the part that we were really envisioning. So getting everybody together, different kinds of stakeholders, really problem solving together, the kinds of things that we can do as a collective in in relation to this issue of transition and autism spectrum disorders. So your input is extremely important to us. We really want to hear what you have to say about the program in relation to your experiences, the kinds of things that you feel need to be done, areas that we've addressed well, areas that we can address a little bit better. And now is our chance really to have this discussion, and we are going to take these comments and these discussions very seriously in our next steps. Before talking about the group interactive activity, I'd also like to highlight that at the end we have a stakeholder survey for all of you. If it turns out that in your groups you're not getting at the comments that you would really like to make, please put them on your individual surveys, and we'll definitely get to address those too. So we don't want you to feel like you're not going to have your say, and especially if your group goes on a tangent or in a direction that's different from the one you would like to go in. So you definitely will have the opportunity to have your say. So what we're going to do is break up into smaller groups and take a little bit of a brainstorming approach. I want it to be something that's a little bit flexible. I, however, have created some guiding questions, and you're free to use these, or you're free to do this in a different way. We, this time, are just going to serve as the people who are recording your answers, and we'll come together again after the smaller group session, before 4:45. So, at 4:30, to talk all together about what you talked about in your smaller groups. But the questions that I've put forward here, just to kind of get you thinking, what would you recommend for the next phases of this program? What would you like to see added to the program? Do you have recommendations for the research component of the project? How can all of the stakeholders collaborate meaningfully in this issue? This is something that we really are wanting to happen, and really want to hear your input about how we can make this happen. And how do we promote successful transitions in young adults with ASDs? This one is a little bit more broad, but I feel like with the experience in the room and all of the best practices that people are already engaging in, and their ideas for where the field should go, we're really interested in hearing what you have to say. So, without further ado, we will turn the lights back on, prepare yourselves, and break into smaller groups for this component. So we have about 15 to 20 minutes to discuss some of these issues, and then we'll get back together as a larger group.